We're actually holding on Nunvov Amud Beis at the bottom, three lines from the bottom. But we're in the middle of a topic actually dealing with the tchumim of the Orei Miklat. So it might be a good idea to, especially because yesterday when we finished, we kind of rushed through the end of it. So we may as well go over it and do it properly. So we'll start about the just about the middle of the Amud line begins Trei Alfi. So the most Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Now, the thing is, we learned in the previous perek that there's a certain connection between the Orei Miklat and the general concept of Tchum for a city. In fact, we said, where do we look? We said, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, the Tchumim for Shabbos are round, as opposed to the Tchumim for an Ir Miklat are square, and he learned that from a Pasuk, whereas the Chachamim used that same Pasuk to say that both of them are square. So there's a certain connection between the Tchum of an Ir Miklat versus the, and the Tchum of Shabbos. So now the Gemara is going to talk about the same way as we talked about how you square off the city and then you square off the Tchumen and how much extra you said the Gemara had said that you gain several hundred amas in each direction along the corners when you do it that way, because now if you're walking diagonally northeast or northwest or what have you, then you gain 800 amas just in the Tchum area alone, plus the distance from, let's say it was a circular city, to the corner of the square that surrounds it. If the city is 2,000 by 2,000, then you would gain another 400 amas. So you would gain, in that case, 1,200 amas in each direction. Obviously, if the city is a different size, then it's not necessarily going to be 400. The 800 you'll always have, because the diagonal of a square, 2,000 by 2,000, is about 2,800. It's actually about 2,828. Okay, so now talking about the Orei Miklat a similar way, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Amar Abul Yezeb Rav Yosi, Tchum Orei Levim Alpayim Amma. The Tchum of the cities of the Levim is 2,000 Amas. Now the Pasuk mentions 1,000, Mikir HaUva Chutza Elef Amas Saviv, as the Gemara is going to quote in a second. Then it says, the next Pasuk says, you measure from outside the wall 2,000. So the point is, the Gemara takes it to mean, this is also how Rashi explains it on the Pasuk, that it means that the first 1,000 amos near the city is left open, is left empty. It's meant as Noila Ir, a beautiful thing for the city, that you have an empty space around it. Then beyond that, you have another 1,000 amos for the fields and vineyards of the Levium who live in the cities. The Rambam actually learns it that you have 1,000 empty and 2,000 fields and vineyards. The Rambam's shita doesn't seem to fit so well with our Gemara, but Noisa Kalim and Rambam say that maybe he's basing himself on a different thing, on a Mishnah and Sota. Anyway, so he said, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi says, Tchum Orei Levim Apayim Amma, the Tchum around the cities of Levim is 2,000 Amas. Tseimehen Elef Amma Migrash. On each side, subtract 1,000 Amma from Migrash. Nimtza Migrash Reviyah. So it comes out the Migrash is one quarter of the total, and we're going to see in a minute what does that one quarter mean. Vashar Sodas Akramim, the rest of it consists of the fields and vineyards. So first we have to figure out Minohani Mili. Where do we know that you have 1,000 amas empty on each side? The Pasuk says, from the wall of the city outward, 1,000 amas all around, meaning, so the Torah is telling you to surround the whole city, or we're going to see later if it actually means the whole city, but right now, for purposes of, right now, we're assuming it means literally around the entire city, meaning the edges as well as the corners, you need to have 1,000 amas empty all around. And then you have the fields and vineyards beyond that. So the question is, Nimtza Migrash Reviyah, what do you mean then that the Migrash, the empty space, comes out to be one quarter of the total? What do you mean, Reviyah? Paugahavi, it comes out a half. Because if you have on each side 1,000 amas empty space, and then another 1,000 amas beyond that of fields and vineyards, for the moment we're not even taking into consideration, the corners. Because Tosfos points out, the corners, The proportion of space that's going to be the Migrash versus the fields and vineyards in the corners is going to vary depending on the size of the city. If it's a larger city, you're going to have a larger percentage, and a smaller city, you're going to have smaller. But the sides, at least the sides, you're going to, so at least the sides you're going to have, then 1,000 is a half of 2,000. So what kind of a quarter? The answer is, Amar Rava. Now, Tosfos also points out the Gemara could have given us an example. The Gemara could have answered that the Braisa is talking about a case where the city is 8,000 by 8,000 amos. In that case, if you surround it with tchumen, and then in that case, if you surround it with tchumen, with a tchum of with a migrash of 1,000 on each side, and then fields and vineyards another 1,000 amos on each side, the total area you're dealing with is 144,000 square amos. Of that, the city is 64,000 because 8,000 by 8,000. The migrash then would come out to 36,000 because what you have is you have a square 10 by 10 and you take out of it a square of 8 by 8, which is the city itself. So you're left with you're left with then the 100 minus 64 is 36, and then the total area is 144. So it actually does come out a quarter. However, Tosfos says that might be true mathematically, but la halacha, the Orei Miklat were not allowed to be as large as that. The Gemara tells us in Makkos that the cities had to be medium size. A city 8,000 by 8,000 amos is not a medium sized city. It's a large city. To put it in perspective, 8,000 amos would be is 4 mil, would be about 2.5 miles. According to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, who has smaller amos. According to the Chazon Ish, it would be even larger. So that's not small enough to be considered a medium sized city. Also, Tosfos points out, anyway, that then there wouldn't really be any chiddush in it. If it's just you have to make the city big enough to be able to actually find mathematically where, under normal circumstances, without any further adjustments, the migrash is a quarter, then the Braisa is not telling us any chiddush. The chiddush must be something else that is teaching us how to calculate that migrash. So Omar Rava, Bar Ada Meshucha Azbarali. So Rava says, Bar Ada, the surveyor, explained it to me. He was a surveyor, so he knew his way around measuring around cities. So he told me, Mashkacha Slaba Mosa Dahabia Tre Alfi Al Tre Alfi. You can make it work if you have a city which is 2,000 amos by 2,000 amos. So 4,000 square amos. Tchum Kamehabi Shitzar. Medium-sized city, right? So it can't be too small, but it can't be too large, but 2,000 by 2,000 still fits in that category of a medium-sized city. Again, thinking of it in modern terms, that would be so 2,000 amos is 1 mil, it's about 1 kilometer, so about 3/5 of a mile. So you're talking, let's say, the distance from one end of the central, let's say, if you think of the central part of Crown Heights, let's say from one end of it to the other, let's say from Lefferts to Eastern Parkway is approximately that distance. So then you square that, you're not talking about that big a city. So if you have the city is 2,000 by 2,000, tchum kamehabish shitzar, the tchum then, if you think just about the sides of the city, leaving aside for the moment the corners, then you have the total tchum. On each side, you have 4 squares of 1,000 each. So that's 16 altogether. So far you have 64. You have 16, but you have 4 on each side, so 16 altogether. Kronos kamehabian shitzar, the corners add another 16. So we have the total tchum area is 32. Dal tmanya de tchumin, subtract now eight of the tchumin, because those are going to be the migrash, because on the 4 sides of the city you're gonna have four of those squares are going to be empty. Va'arba de kronis, subtract another four for the corners. So kamahabi tresa, meaning that you're taking out 12 squares surrounding the city, because again, if the city itself is 2,000 by 2,000, that takes up 4 squares in the middle. The next zone around it is 12 squares. And then you have, so it's 12 squares, 12,000. So the question is, what do you mean, nimsa migrash revia? What do you mean the migrash then comes out to be a quarter? Tfei mitilta ninu. Then it comes out to be more than 1/3. Because if you have, leaving aside the city for a second, so the entire square is 36. At this point, the Gemara is thinking that what we do is the two parts of the fraction over here, the numerator and the denominator, are the migrash and the total tchum area, meaning not including the city itself. So you have 12 out of 32, which is more than 1/3. What do you mean a quarter? The Gemara says, okay, I see Arba de Masa, Tshadi Alayu. Fine, you have to add back in the 4 of the city itself. So now you have a square of 36. From it, you have the Migrash is 12. Okay, but the question is, Akati Tilta Havi. Okay, but then 12 out of 36 is 1/3. So we still haven't gotten down to a quarter yet. The answer is, the Gemara says, Mi Sabret Beribua Kamar. You're thinking we're talking about a square city, Be'igula Kamar. We're actually talking about a circular city. Now we have to count. It would be helpful if we could show the pictures on the camera, yeah. But, okay, let's try it. I wouldn't be getting this. I suppose you're right. Okay, so let me see. That's, okay, there we go. No, that's a second. Not so easy, but okay, fine. So there you have a bunch of the pictures. So first we were assuming. So we started like this. We started with this picture over here. Well, we started with the question: how do we get Revia? So we started with it. Right now we're up to this picture over here, where we have at this point you have 12 the gray squares over here constitute the Migrash out of 36, which is the whole thing. Originally the Gemara thought it was half because, forgetting about the corners a second, you have this picture over here. You have 1,000 on each side, and then another 1,000 comes out to half. Now we're up to saying that we're going to think of a circular city. Yeah.
You held the camera upside down, so you didn't see the pictures. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. I just fixed it. Were you able to see any of the pictures I was just pointing to?
We saw the ceiling. You have to turn the phone upside down.
Oh, whoops. Okay, let me try that again then.
Maybe put your book where your face.
Ah, here.
Okay. So fine. So I'm sorry about that then. So here's the, here's what we were thinking. We have 12 gray squares out of 36 is what we said. That's only one third. And now we're saying we're talking about a circular city. So now we're going to calculate differently. So now we calculate like this. Kama meruba yoser ala igul. How much, when you have a square and inside it you have a circle, how much larger is the square than the circle? One third. In other words, the circle takes up three quarters of the area of the square. It's actually a little more than three quarters. It depends on the value of pi. We learned way back in the first perek that we talked, the Gemara approximated pi as 3. Really it's 3.14, whatever. It's an irrational number anyway. So the Gemara anyway could give an exact figure, but where was I? So if we approximate pi as 3, then by the say that you works out also that the circle will be 3/4 of the square that's around it. If pi is 3.14, which it is, then it actually comes out to about 78%. But we can round it to 75%, which is what the Gemara is doing. Tosfos actually points out it works not only as far as the area of the circle, but also as far as the perimeter of it, how far around it. The same thing. If you have a square, let's say 1 unit on each side, so the perimeter of it is 4 units, then the circle, if you draw a circle inside it, the perimeter of it is going to be about 3 units. Anyway, but here we're talking about the area. So the point is, here we're talking about the area. So therefore, Dal Revia Minayu. So now when you think of the area of the city and of the area of the Migrash, which we're assuming at this point that the area of the Migrash, the shape of it depends on the city. If the city is round, then the Migrash is also going to be round. So Dal Revia Minayu. So we subtract 1/4 from the size of the city and from the size of the Migrash, partial or Hutisha. So now you're left, instead of before we would have had an area of 12 for the Migrash, now we have an area of 9. Because now we have an area of 9, because 3/4 of 12 is 9. Good. Now the tchum itself, when we go to measure the tchum and the area for the fields and the vineyards, that, as we said previously, is going to be square. So therefore, you have a square of 36. Out of it, you have a migrash of 9. Good. 9 out of 36 is 1/4. So that's what the braisa means, that we say 1/4. So we're talking about the Ori Levim specifically, right? So now we understand what Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi meant when he said that the Tchum comes out to be 1/4, that the Migrash comes out to be 1/4, because when you have a city of that size, and it's circular, then the Migrash comes out to be 1/4 of the entire area. So the chiddush is then that we're talking about that the chiddush that he's telling us is that the Migrash follows the shape of the city, but the Tchum does not. The Tchum is square. So that's all Rava's explanation according to what Bar Adam Meshucha told him. Abaya Omer, Abaya says, here's a different way of looking at it. Mashkacha slonami b'masa to have your alpha ba'alpha. You can also make it work if you have a city which is 1,000 by 1,000. And you calculate it a little differently. Tchumin kama have you Tmanya. This Tchumin are eight, or the Tchumin around the city. Again, we're starting with the assumption that we're talking about a square city. Tchumin kama have you Tmanya. The total Tchumin around the city in each direction is going to be 8,000, because in each direction you're going to have one square next to the city of the Migrash, and the next square next to it is going to be the fields and vineyards. So altogether you have eight on the four sides. Kronis kama have shitzar. The corners are going to be 16, same principle as before, because you have 16 squares of 1,000 amas each. Dal arba de tchumen va arba de kronos. Now for the migrash, you take out four from the tchumen and four from the corners. Kama have it tmanya. So you have eight. Here's the picture of it. And this time, let me see if I can do better. Here. So here's the picture of it. Now it looks like you should be able to see. So you have a city of 1,000 in the middle. You have eight gray squares around it that are the Migrash, out of a total area of 25, because you have 5 by 5. So that's the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Tilta habu, what do you mean? What do you mean that a quarter? In that case, 8 out of 24, fine, we don't count the city in, then you get 8 out of 24, comes out to be 1/3. The answer is, again, the Gemara says, Mi Savrit Ribua Kama. Again, you think we're talking about a square city, the Igula Kama. We're actually talking about a round city. Again, Kama Meruba Yosra Ala Igul Revia. The circle is 3/4 of the square. Dal Revia. So therefore, we have to subtract 1/4. Partial Hushita. So you have left that the Tchum comes at the Tchum, not the Tchum, the Migrash, therefore, comes out to be 6 rather than 8. The shita mechav dalad river habi, and therefore it also comes out. As 1/4. So here's the illustration of it. So you have then the city itself is a circle in the middle. You have a circle around it that is the migrash, and that the area of that circle comes out to about 6 units. The entire area, not counting the city itself, is 24 units, because the city itself is in the middle. Therefore, you come out to 1/4. Now, actually, I mean, we're using pi as three, yes. With that said, though, now we're still not quite exact, actually, because the fact of the matter is, if we're saying the city is circular, then it comes out, in other words, that we actually, so we didn't subtract one full unit. So we have, in other words, the whole area of Migrash and Tchum is more than 24, right? Because if the city is only 3/4 of a square in area, because it's a circle, then it means you're starting out with 24 and a quarter. So actually, Tosfos says that you're right. Since we're saying in the sugya that we're considering, now on the city itself is square. On the other hand, the city itself is circular in this scenario. On the other hand, for purposes of halacha, we're treating it as if it's square, because we end up drawing its tchumen square. And that's we said before that that's what you do in general when you're measuring Tchume Shabbos. So therefore, even though the city itself is physically circular, we imagine as though it was a square. And therefore, when we come to talking about the proportion of the Migrash to the whole thing, we can still say as if the city was a square of 1,000. But physically, the city is round, and therefore the Migrash is round, and therefore the calculation still works out. Okay. Two more explanations what this 1/4 means. It's kind of interesting. You know, you have this Gemara is almost like as if we were given an equation where the answer is 1/4, and we have to figure out what are the terms that lead us to that equation. So we had Rava's answer, we have Abaya's answer, and now we have more. Ravina amamai revia revia de tchumen. Ravina says, never mind the corners. When we talk about a quarter, what we mean is a quarter of the sides. In other words, Ravina says, ignore the corners. You just consider the tchum on the side. And therefore, so you have. So in the case, let's say, of the city is 2,000 by 2,000, let's say. So you're going to have then, so you have the eight gray squares over there, the eight gray squares over there that are the Migrash, leaving aside the corners. Then you have those eight gray squares out of the 32, not counting the city itself. You have 32 for the Migrash and the Tchumen. 8 out of 32 is 1/4. Rav Ashi, I'm my Revere de Cronus. Rav Ashi says that it means, Rav Ashi says it means one quarter of the corners, which Rashi says two explanations on that. Well, so Rashi has two explanations of what Rav Ashi means. One is that Rav Ashi agrees that the Tchumen go around the whole city. He's just saying that he agrees that Tchumen go around the whole city. He's just saying the Braise is only telling us in terms of the corners. The Braise is not addressing the sides, only the corners. Then Rashi says a second explanation that in fact Rav Ashi would say that the Migrash is only on the corners. Ravina would say the Migrash is only on the sides. You're not required to have Migrash on the corners. So in other words, at the corners of the city, the fields and vineyards directly meet the city. Rav Ashi says the other way around. On the sides they meet it, on the corners they don't. That's Rashi's second explanation. An advantage of Rav Ashi's explanation is that it works regardless of the size of the city. Rava's and Abaya's explanations required us to have a certain size city. And even Ravina's requires us to have a certain size city. Rav Ashi's concept will work no matter what the size of the city. However, Amalei Ravina lo Rav Ashi v'asaviv ksiv. But Ravina says to Rav Ashi, "What do you mean that the tchum is only in the that the migrash is only in the corners?" The pasuk says saviv, all around. The answer is my saviv tikronis. The answer is very simple. The word saviv means around, on the corners only. Eloi Temahochi, if you're not going to say that, then consider Gabe Oila. Consider what happens with a Korban Oila and most other Korbanos when you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. Dichtiv Vizoku Esadom al Mizbeach Saviv. It says they sprinkle the blood around the Mizbeach. Hochinami Saviv Mamash. We know it doesn't mean they sprinkle it all around in a line around the Mizbeach. Elamai Saviv, Saviv Dekronis. Saviv there means only that they splash the blood on the corners. And not even on all the corners in that case. It's only Shtematonis Shein Arba. But so we see that the word saviv can mean the corners only. Hachinami, my saviv, saviv de kronis, the same thing over here. The word saviv can just mean on the corners. So Rav Ashi's answer could still work. And again, the advantage of Rav Ashi's answer is no matter what the size of the city, you're always going to have the corners are always going to be 2,000 by 2,000 because that's the corners. The corners are are part of the tchum. And therefore, so you're going to have the inner 1,000 amas of it is going to be the migrash. A square of 1,000 by 1,000 out of a square of 4,000 by 4,000, which is the corner of the tchum, is always going to be one quarter. And the same thing on each side, no matter what size or shape the city is. Okay. Amalei Rav Chavivi Michuzna Rav Ashi. However, now Rav Chavivi Michuzna asked Rav Ashi, we explained before that we're talking about the case where the city is circular, and we said the Migrash is circular also, but the fact of the matter is we consider the city as though it was square, because we said for purposes of Tchumen, we square off the city, so that in that case, don't you have a problem? Don't you have then the corners of the square stick out into the circle? In other words, then again, we were calculating before, going back to Rava's scenario, where the city is circular 2,000 by 2,000, and then you have a migrash around it, which we calculated comes out to be 9 square units approximately, and then the total area that we're dealing with is 36, so we said 9 out of a quarter is 36, but the problem is you don't have full 9 for the migrash, because if the city itself is physically round, but if we're considering it square, then the migrash is less than 9 round, because now you have to consider you're describing a circle over here 4 by 4. The area of the circle itself is 12. We're subtracting from it, but now we're subtracting from it the size of the city, which is approximately 3, and therefore you're left with 9. But if we consider the city is square, then the area of the city is 4. So then you're left with 8. So 8 and 8 out of 36 is less than a quarter. So how does that work? The answer is the Gemara says b'masa igulta. Yeah, but we're talking about a round city. Okay, but the question is, Vaharibua, didn't we say that we made the city square? So we consider it square. So then in that case, we're still back to the Migrash is less than is less than 9 in area. The answer is, Ravashi answers, we say we consider it as though it was squared off for purposes of calculating the tchumen. We don't physically square off the city. We don't build more houses in that area between the between the circular boundaries of the city and the square that goes around it. So therefore, the point of the migrash is to be beautiful around the city. So the fact that you have that, that empty area of 1,000 on each side, the green belt, we don't care the fact that lahalocha we consider as though the city stuck out into that area, because practically speaking, it doesn't. You don't have any actual physical houses in that area. And therefore you still have a full 1,000 amas of migrash all around the city. And therefore that's good for our purposes. It's interesting, by the way, you notice that Rav Chavivi Mechizna is asking the question on Rav Ashi. He's not even asking on Rav Ashi's own explanation of the Revia. He's asking on Rava's explanation. This is one of the examples we see in Shas, because Ravina and Rav Ashi were the ones who arranged the Gemara as we have it. Therefore, we often have that the Chachamim, that the Amoraim, will ask Rav Ashi something that he himself had nothing to do with. He himself has a different opinion in this sugya, but they're asking him on a different opinion. Now we're collecting together all the opinions of the Amoraim and putting together the Gemara, so we have to understand Rava's opinion. Why didn't this come earlier? Because the Gemara wanted to go through all the answers. About Revia first, yeah. And another one, Amalei Rav Chaniloi Mechizna l'Rav Ashi. Rav Chaniloi Mechizna asked Rav Ashi another question. Going back to now, we learned previously, before this whole thing about the Ore Miklat, we talked about the fact that if you have a city 2,000 by 2,000 amas, and again, you square it off for purposes of tchumen, and then you also make tchumen around it square, then we said you end up gaining 1,200 amas towards each of the corners, because from the edge of the circle to the corner of the square is 400, and then from the corner of that imaginary squared off city until the corner of the tchumen is another 800. So therefore, you gain 1,200 amas. So Rav Chaniloi Mechizna asks like this. Mechti, he says, let's consider. Kama meruba yosu ala igu revia. We said before that a square surrounding a circle is one quarter larger than. In other words, the area of the circle is three quarters and the area of the square is one full unit. So you add an extra quarter. So therefore, by the same logic, what are we doing over here as far as the tchumen? Rav Chaniloi Mechizna thinks that what we're doing is, he figures like this. What we're doing is, we're adding to the corners of the city to make up the tchum, but we should assume that what we're doing is, again, you have a circle and around it a square. So therefore, Sahani Tamni Meya, how are you getting 800 extra in each of the corners? So we're saying, you're getting 800 in each of the corners because you're drawing a square around the city. And therefore, so we're saying, if it had rounded corners, then you would have 2,000 exactly. Because it's not rounded, because it's squared off, you get an extra 800. But Rav Chaniloi Mechizna is asking, how do you get an extra 800? If the square is one quarter more than the circle, then you should only have one third more, as we're saying, revia. So in other words, the circle is three quarters and the square is one. Then by the same logic, we shouldn't get 800. Hani tamni meya. What are you getting 800? Shis meya v'shisid v'sheva nachi tilta havi. You should only get 666 and two thirds extra, because that would be one third of 2,000. So where are you getting 800? Amalei, sort of Ashi answers him, Hani mili bi'igula migoi ribua. That's talking about, you're right, that proportion holds when you're talking about a square inside a circle, like we were describing before, for example. So then we say the area of the circle and the perimeter of the circle are about three quarters of the size of the square. But here we're not dealing with circles and squares anymore. Here we're dealing with the diagonal of a square 2,000 by 2,000, and therefore we need more. You don't have the extra of the excess of the diagonal over the square is not going to be only, it's not going to be only an extra one third like it would be if we're talking about a circle. Here it's actually more than that. It's 1.4. Da'amamar, we learn in a braisa, kol amsa b'ribua, amsa v'tre chum shabalachsona. Every one amma along the length corresponds to 1.4 along the diagonal. So therefore, a square of 2,000 by 2,000, you're going to end up with a diagonal of about 2,800. 2,828 is a little more exact, Rashi points out. But the point is, so therefore, so you are in fact going to gain 800 amas rather than just 666 and two-thirds like Rav Chanan Lowy thought. Okay. Mishnah says, Noisnit Karpif Le'ir Divir Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that we allow for a Karpif around the city. Meaning, in other words, Rav Meir says you don't just start measuring the 2,000 amas from the wall of the city or from the edge of the city. What you do is you first add 70 amas and two-thirds amas, which we've now in the second parak of our Masechta, we talked about the concept of Beis Sasayim. We talked about the courtyard of the Mishkan was 100 by 50 amos, which is 5,000 square amos. If we make that into a square, we had a whole, the Gemara gave us a whole calculation over there, and Rashi explained in detail how it works. Teru chamishim besabiv chamishim. You end up, you're able to make out of that area of 5,000, you're able to make a square a little over 70 and two-thirds by 70 and two-thirds. We said, to be exact, 70 and two-thirds by 70 and two-thirds comes out to about 49.93 and a fraction. So you're about six square amas short of 5,000, but if you tried adding that, you'd be adding like less than an etzba. You'd be adding less than an etzba on each side, so we don't consider it. So we consider 70 and two-thirds to be, so we consider that to be an important number for purposes of Hilchos Shabbos, for purposes of Hilchos Erevin, and therefore, so the mayor says, here is an example where we use it. Every city, we first allot a karpif of 70 and two-thirds around it, and then we start measuring the tchum outside it. In other words, according to the mayor, you could walk out with you, once you leave the city, you could walk 2,070 and two-thirds amos. The idea behind it is the karpif around the city is meant to be sort of like a chotzer for the city. It's a place where people can go take where people can go take walks. It's a place maybe where they can graze their animals and other such things. So it sort of serves the purpose for the city like the chotzer does for a house, and therefore the Chachamim use the figure of the chotzer of the Mishkan to determine that size. That's Rav Meir. V'chamim loy omer karpif ela bein shtei ayoris. The Chum say no. We only say a karpif between two cities. Meaning, im yesh lazu shivim ama b'shirayim v'lazu shivim ama b'shirayim. If you have two cities and you have 70 and two thirds between them, and we'll see in the Gemara, does that mean each one individually 70 and two thirds, or does it mean a 70 and two thirds for each one, which means you'd end up with 141 and a third? We'll see about machlokas about that in the Gemara. We touched on it the other day. So anyway, so then the Chachamim say, Oisa karpif ashtein lias echad, then the karpif makes them combine together and you have one big city in effect. But not that for an individual city, so for an individual city, you can only walk 2,000 amas. But if you have two cities that are close enough within, as we'll see in the Gemara, 70 and two-thirds or 141 as a third, according to the different mandamas, then you can count them all as one city. And the advantage of that is, of course, if you have them counted as one city, means that your tchum doesn't begin at the edge of your city. It begins at the edge of the next city, meaning, in other words, so we'll talk on the Gemara. We'll see exactly what the distance is. But in other words, looking at this, for example, this is going to be Rav Huna's opinion in the Gemara over here. So you have this city over here and this city over here. They're less than 141 and a third apart. The result is, if you live in this city, you can walk all the way through your city and the next city, and your 2,000 only begin from the edge of the other city. So you're gaining a huge amount of space that you can walk on Shabbos. As opposed to, if they were further away than that, then you wouldn't be able to do that. So that's the Chachamim say, that's what you accomplish by giving a karpif to a city, between two cities, but not for each individual city. Not for a city that's just individual by itself without other cities near it. And the Mishnah continues, V'chein gimel kforim hamashuloshim, the same way if you have three, the same way if you have three cities that are mishuloshin. Now, usually the word mishuloshin would mean that you have three of them in a row. We're going to see in the Gemara that it's actually a bit of a different scenario. We're going to see in the Gemara that we're talking about they're arranged in the shape of a triangle. So, So it, well, because the word mishulosh means a triangle, sure, but usually mishuloshin means equidistant one from the other. For example, on the side over here, it refers to a Tosfos in Bechoros, where it talks about the case over there. You have an animal that has certain kinds of eye diseases, where you're not sure if it's a permanent mum or not, and you have to feed it certain kind of grass at certain intervals and whatever, and see if that makes it better. And it says over there that the intervals have to be mishuloshin; they have to be at equal intervals. So time is linear, fine. But the point is that usually mishuloshin means one, then another. In other words, in a row. So we'll see in the Gemara. So im yesh ben shnayim chitzonim meir va'aboyim va'achas u'shlish. If between the two outer ones you have 141 and a third, the result is osem tzoyes shloshtim liyesk echad. Then the middle village makes it now considered that all three of them are one big city, in terms of, again, that a person who lives in any one of those three cities is able to measure his tchum from the edge of the furthest city in each direction. So as far as this matter of noist and kaiper fla'ir, Tosfos discusses over here that, let's say, for example, now we talked about before that if you have a house within a certain distance of the city, then it counts as an extension of the city. Would we say, according to the mayor, that there we allow the 70 and 2/3 amos? Tosfos says that no. Only when you have a complete city, then you would, according to the mayor and according to the Chachamim also for that matter, give the 70 and 2/3 for each one. And therefore, as long as they're within 141 and a third, then you're good. But if you have a city and then you have a house, which is not within 70, but it's within 141, we wouldn't say that that house counts as an extension of the city. There are Rishonim who disagree with that, but that is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, because they have to be 70 apart. Tosfos points out another consideration, another detail that we need to know about, which is that let's say, for example, now we talked about earlier in the perek that if you have a house sticking out of the city, then we draw the tchum to include. Then we draw the tchum of the city to include that. Tosfos says even Reb Meir wouldn't necessarily say that we allow the city a kaiperf in that case, because after all, the fact of the matter is the whole area you're adding to the city is empty. You're just adding it to the city in order to have a square shape. So once you're already adding an area outside the city proper, then on top of that, add a kaiperf of 70, Reb Meir is not necessarily going to say that you do that. So the Gemara starts off, Menohani Mili, where do we know what Reb Meir is saying, that you always give a kaipif to a city, and even what the Chachamim are saying, that you use a kaipif in order to join two cities into one? Amar Rava, do Amar Krami Kiyoha Ir V'chutza, the Pasuk says, from the wall of the city outward. Now what does it have to say outward? Of course, where else are you going to measure? Amar Torah, ten chutza v'achkach medoy, it means the Torah is telling you, give us an outside area, and only then start measuring the tchum. Meaning, in other words, exactly what it sounds like. So you first have to, You first measure out a certain distance outside the city, namely the 70 and 2/3 amas, and then you start measuring the tchum. Rishonim bring from the Yerushalmi. So after all, what would the Chachamim say with that? So Rishonim bring from the Yerushalmi that it says the Chachamim would understand the word v'chutza to be those two different cases. Sometimes you measure only mikir ha'ir, if it's a city by itself, and sometimes you measure v'chutza, namely if there are cities next to each other. Okay. We said v'chachamim omrim lo amru chulu. V'chachamim say that we only count a kaipif when it's between two cities, not where you just have one city by itself. So we said you have the case over there where you have two cities near each other, two villages near each other, and we said if you have kaipif lazu v'kaipif lazu, then they count as one. So what does that mean? Itmar Rav Huna Amar Noistin kaipif lazu v'kaipif lazu. Rav Huna says exactly what it sounds like. Each one gets its own kaipif. So in other words, if you have, as long as you have 141 and a third or less between the two cities, then it's considered one big city, and they have and one big tchum. Chiyabarav, Amar kaipif echad b'shtein. Chiyabarav says no, all you have is 70 and 2/3 amas between them. If you have more than that, then Chiyabarav would say they don't count as one city. So let's see. But Tanan, we learned in the mission of Chachamim Loyomer Kaipif Ela Bein Beis Ayaris. We said the Chachamim say you put a kaipif only between two cities. Now that implies, Lachora, that we're talking about the actual size of a kaipif, 70 and 2/3 amas. Tiufta de Rav Huna. Wouldn't that be a contradiction to Rav Huna, who says that you can have two Karpefis? The answer is Amalach Rav Huna. My Karpef, Torah's Karpef. The Mishnah doesn't mean the word Karpef as literally the size of a Karpef, which is 70 and two-thirds. It means the concept of a Karpef, the concept that we extend the city, outward by adding that Karpef, and do the same for the other city, and therefore they join together, we do that. Ula olam, Karpef lazuba, Karpef lazuba, it still means that you have one Karpef for each one. In fact, the Gemara says, "Hachinami mistabra." In fact, it's logical. You have to understand the Mishnah that way. Midikatoni safer, because after all, the Mishnah continues. Im yesh lazu am ayin ama v'shirayim, v'lazu ayin ama v'shirayim, because the Mishnah clearly said, if each one had 70 and two-thirds amas, then we said, oisa karpef l'shtein li'asechod. Then the karpef makes them be considered one town. Shmamina. So that proves that yes, each one gets its own 70 and two-thirds. And therefore, as long as they meet in the middle, then you have one big city. So now the question is, Lema Tevit Yufta Dechir Barav. In that case, then does that mean that you have a contradiction on Chir Barav, who said that you only have one thing of 70 and two-thirds amas? The answer is Omala Chir Barav. The answer is that Chir Barav will tell you Homani Rameyri. He will say that part of the Mishnah, in other words, you have like this. The Mishnah started off with a machlokas of Meir and the Chachamim. Do you give each individual city a karpif in the sense that even if the city has no other cities near it, you measure 70 and two-thirds, and only then do you start measuring the 2,000? And then the Mishnah continues that you have the case where you have two cities, one next to the other. So according to Rav Huna, that next part where you have two cities next to each other is all part of what the Chachamim say. Chir Barav would understand that, no, that part is according to everybody. Or not according to everybody. That part goes back to the mayor. In other words, you have the mayor says that each individual city has a Karpif. The Chum say you only make a Karpif between two cities. And how much is that Karpif between two cities? The mayor says it would be 141 and a third, twice 70. So the question is, Ira Meir he hotoni le'reisha noisin karpif le'ir divra Meir. So we already had in the Mishnah that a Meir says that you assign a Karpif to the city. So we know already the mayor would say if there are two cities near to each other, then each one gets at 70 and two-thirds, and therefore they're going to meet, and therefore those Karpefas are going to meet in the middle. You're going to have 141 and a third. Why would he have to repeat it again? The answer is tzricha. We would say that Reb Meir still needs to tell us in both cases. De'i mehahi, because if you only had, this is all according to Chir Barav, if you only had the first din in the Mishnah, if you only had the first statement of Rameyu in the Mishnah, that noistin kaibra flair, then you would say, hava min achad l'chod of achad l'tarti, then you would think what it means is, whether you have one city or whether you have two cities, either way, you only give one kaibraf. And Rameyo disagrees with that. In other words, Chir Barav is saying, I'm talking according to the Chachamim, you only have 70 and two-thirds. According to Rameyo, sure, you're going to have 141. But what this Rav Huna is saying, 141, and he says, even according to the Chachamim, Chir Barav would say that's only according to Rameyo. So between the cities, if you have 70 or 141, as the case may be, so Chir Barav would say that Rameyo says, given that Rameyo says each city has 70 anyway, then therefore, if you have two cities that are 141 apart, then there you go, they count as one. Whereas Chir Barav would say the Chachamim would disagree. The Chachamim who say that in general you don't give a Karpif for the city, they would agree, fine, if the two cities are within a Karpif of each other, then fine, we can count them as one, but not if they're two Karpifis apart. But if we only had Rameyer telling us at the beginning of the Mishnah, Noistin Karpif Le'ir, then you would think also if there are two cities, that he would say that only 70, therefore, the mayor has to tell us, according to Chir Barav, that the case with the two cities is according to the mayor only, that he would say that, yes, in that case, you give them 141, even though it's two separate cities, and it means you're giving 70 amas to each one. And v'iyashmin and halcha. On the other hand, if he only told us in this case of the two cities, then you would say mishum de tchika tashmish sayu, because you would say, you know why you have to allot them 141? So because it's crowded, you can't easily use it. And Rashi says the kaip of his noy ha'ir. It's a beautiful thing for the city, like we said about the migrash for the arei miklat. There you have 1,000 amas. Here you only have 70, but still it's a beautiful thing to have an open space near the city where people can go for walks or whatever. So therefore, so if you only have 70 amos between the two cities and the people of the two cities are sharing it, then you have, it's very crowded, and therefore it doesn't look nice. Therefore, yeah, we're going to allow 141. But in the first case in the Mishnah, you have one individual city. There's no other city near it. So therefore, so it's not so crowded. So there's no crowding in the 70 amos. So you would think, Emeloi, maybe you shouldn't give them, maybe you shouldn't give them a 70 amos of kaipif at all, because after all, the whole area outside the city is open and they can use it for whatever they want. Kamash Malan, therefore, the mayor would have to tell us in both cases. Again, this is all according to Chiyah Bar Rav that the mayor is telling us two dinim in the Mishnah. Number one, that an individual city gets a kaipif, and number two, that two cities get each their own kaipif, and therefore, if they meet in the middle, if you have 141 and a third or less, then they count as one city. According to Rav Huna, we would say that the Mishnah is telling, according to Rav Huna, Rav Meir is only telling us one din. A city gets a kaipif. The Chachamim say not when it's an individual city, but when the kaipif is useful for being able to join the two cities together, then each one gets its own kaipif. So then they agree, then they would agree with Rav Meir that each city gets its own. Okay. Let's continue. The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, that let's look back at the Mishnah. Tnan v'chein shloisha kfarim ha-mishaloshin. We said you have a case of three villages, one after the other. Again, mishaloshin we assume means one next to the other. Im yesh ben shnayim achitzonim meir v'aboyim v'achas amo ushlish. If between the two outer ones you have 141 and a third, oisem tzoyes shloshtan lias echad, then the third one makes them all count together to be one. Implying taima de ikem tzoy, why are we saying they're counted to be one city? Is because there is one in the middle. In other words, the Gemara is assuming for purposes of the Habamina that what we mean is, again, they're all three in a line. And we don't have a diagram of it over here, but you have all three of them in a line. You have a middle one that sticks in between the two of them, like one corner of it, let's say, comes in between the two of them. So now as long as you have the two outer ones, a 141 and a third apart, then because you have a third one in there, and therefore you only have 70 from one to from the outer one to the middle, and 70 from the middle one to the other one, then it counts as one. Implying if there wasn't a middle one, then you wouldn't count them all as one. So wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rav Huna? According to Rav Huna, why do you need the third one in the middle? You only have the two outer ones, and there are 141 and a third apart. What's the problem? According to him, that's good. The answer is Amalach Rav Huna. Ha'itmar Allah, you should know there was explained about that by the Amaroyim. Amar Rabba, Amar of Idi, Amar of Chanina. Loi Mishulosh and Mamish. We don't mean literally that they're one next to the other in a line of three. What we actually mean is Ella Royin. We figure it like this: Kol she'ilu matul emtsoi b'neim. If the scenario is that if we were to move the middle one, they're actually arranged in the shape of a triangle. If the middle one is placed such that if you were to put it between them, the yu mishaloshin, and they then you have three of them in a row, the ein ben zelazel, a kuf mem ama, v'achas or shlish, and you have only 141 and a third between each one of them, then osa and tzoyes shloshtan lias echad, then the third one makes them all considered to be one. In other words, the scenario is going to be like this. You have three villages. The outer one, you have two on the ends and one further away from them in the middle. It's not in the middle between them. It's further away. We're going to see soon how far away it's able to be. So then what we say is we imagine as though that city was moved into the empty space between them. Then we look and see, is there 141 on one side and 141 on the other? Then it counts as one big city. And then we consider, then again, anybody who lives in this city can walk all the way to here and still be within and still not even have left their tchum yet. And then their tchum goes from here and vice versa. See over here, you have this village over here is further away. It's not in a straight line with the other ones, but we imagine as though it was moved in there, and then we see what the spaces are between it and the other two. By the way, you have a machlokas of the Rambam and the Ravid, and that the Rambam holds, like we have in the diagram over here, that even as long as you have 141 and a third between each of the outer villages and the imaginary middle village, once it's moved there, then it's good. The Ravid disagrees actually and says you only have 70 here and 70 here. But then and again, what we do it the distance here we're going to talk about now in the Gemara. So So first we have to figure out then what's the largest distance that there can be between the outer ones and that middle one that's sticking out in the other direction. How far apart can they be? He says up to 2,000 amas. If the outer village is more than 2,000 away from the other ones, then it's no good. So here's the picture over here. So you have the two outer ones. You have the two side ones. You have the middle one. The middle one can't be more than 2,000 amas away from the outer ones. The problem with that is, Rava asked Abaya, "Va'atud amrit kavosei de Rava bray de Rava baravuna mistabra." Didn't you yourself say in the machlokas we had a couple of days ago? We had over Yom Tov about the case of a semicircular city, Ir Hasui Kekeshes. So we had a case over there. We had a machlokas over there. We said over there like this: the two ends of the bow can't be more than 4,000 amas apart. If they are, then each house gets their own individual tchum. We don't measure a tchum for the whole city. But we said also, is there a maximum distance from the round part of the bow until the imaginary bowstring? We said, we had a machlokas over there between Rabba Brei de Rav Huna and his son Rava Brei de Rabba Bar Avuna. And Rava Brei de Rabba Bar Avuna said that it doesn't matter. It can be even more than 2,000 amas from the keshes, from the bow, until the yeser, the bowstring. And you, Abaya, yourself said it seems more logical. Where he says that the distance can be more than 2,000 amas and it still works. So why all of a sudden now are you saying with this case, now the point of the three villages, one next to the other, is similar to that. Okay, when you have three villages next to each other like that, then you also have, in effect, what you have is a bow-shaped city. So why over there? So why over here? Is a better illustration of it. So over here, in effect, you have a bow-shaped city. So why are you saying over here the maximum distance is 2,000 amas, and over here you're saying it's more logical to say that there is no maximum distance? The answer is, Abaya answers, Hochi Hashta, how do you think to compare those two? Hasam Ikabatim, in the case of the bow-shaped city, there are physical houses all along the bow. And that's, Abaya had said, the logic was, why do we say there can be more than 2,000 in this direction? Because, after all, if you wanted to go over here, you don't have to walk straight through the empty area. You could walk along the houses in one direction or the other, and then walk to here. And again, remember, between here and here, there's less than 4,000. So therefore, so you're able to reach here without ever going out of a Tchum Shabbos and without ever leaving the area where there are houses. Hocha lekabatim. Here, when we come to the three villages, there's no houses in between. Yeah, we're considering them lahalacha as though they were one big city. But the fact is, it's not. So therefore, so we can say that the maximum distance we're going to allow is 2,000 amas. So we said we had a machloikas Rabba Bar Avuna and Rava Bred Rabba Bar Avuna. We said, there's two different things. There's two different dimensions we need to consider. There's the dimension across the bow. We said that it can't be more than 4,000 because you have to have the tchumim of the two ends of the bow overlap. You have to have like this. You have to be able to have that the tchumim of the two ends overlap. But then on top of that, we had a machloikas. Does the tchum of the part over here also have to overlap with the tchumim over here? So Rava Breda Rav Huna said yes. Rava, his son, said no. And Abaya said it's more logical like that, which in fact is the halacha. Yeah. Okay.
In a long city.
No, as long as the city is built up. The Rambam phrases it, even if the city is the size of Nineveh, you can walk the whole thing on Shabbos. V'amalei Rava l'Abaya, also Rava asked Abaya, going back now to the matter of the three villages, Kama Yehe ben Chitzin l'Chitzin. Is there a maximum distance between the outer one and the other outer one, between this one and this one? And what says, what do you mean? Kama Yehe. My nafkalachmina. What do you mean? How far apart can they be? What's the difference? Kol she'ilu machnes and tzoi b'nehen, ve'en ben zelaze ala meir ba'aboyim ba'achas amur, ala meir ba'aboyim ba'achas or shlish. As long as the middle one will fit between, and you have the 141 and a third, according to the Rambam on each side, according to the Raivad together, then it's considered, then you're allowed to carry. And not you're allowed to carry, you're allowed to walk it. So Vafilu Dalar Alafam Amma. So Rava asked, does that mean even if the total distance between the outer ones is 4,000? In other words, let's say, for example, that the middle village over there, the one sticking out on the side over there, let's say that village itself was, I don't know, 3,000, was let's say, let's say it was 3,800 amas wide. So 3,800 amas. Then you have 141 here and 141 here. So you're already well above 4,000. So if you, again, if you leave this one out of the equation, you have much more than 4,000 between here and here. Their tchumim don't even overlap. Are you saying that it's fine even though this one, as long as, are you saying that it's fine even though this distance is 4,000 between the two outer ones because the middle one can be slid in there and then they have less than 141 on each side? So Abaye says yes. The problem is v'ha'amar of Huna. Now we have to look at this dimension of the keshes. Again, we go back to ir ha'asuik keshes, where v'ha'amar of Huna, ir ha'asuik keshes, the bow shaped city. Im yesh ben beis rasheh pachas ma'abas alafim amma. If from one end to the other there's less than 4,000 amas, murdered lamina yes. So then we count the tchum from the bowstring. In other words, then we square it off and we consider that the tchum begins from here. So you're able to walk all the way from here to here, and then another 2,000 amas beyond that. Vim lav murdered lamina keshes. If not, then you measure from the individual houses wherever they are along the bow. In other words, the city doesn't have a tchum as a whole. So the same thing over here. Again, we're talking about. So with Nineveh, you can walk anywhere, right? But when we say that each house has its own tchum, again, you are able to walk throughout the whole settled area. We're talking about once you walk outside of it, then we have to measure a tchum for your individual house. So over here with the three villages, isn't it the same kind of thing as a bow-shaped city? And we're saying, again, if we apply the dinim of a bow-shaped city, then you can't have more than 4,000 amas over here. But here you're telling me that we can, as long as the middle village is wide enough. The answer is, Abaya answers, Amalei hasam leka lameim mali. The difference is, in that case, you can't say as though the empty area was filled up with houses. Because you have to consider, how did the city develop in this way in a semicircle anyway? Obviously, there's something in the middle that prevents them from building over there. You were saying, Aaron, the other day, that maybe there's a mountain over there. I was saying maybe there's a bank of a river. Whatever it is, there's something preventing them from filling it up with houses. When the city grows, how is the city going to grow? The ends of the bow are going to grow more and more this way, let's say. Or it's going to spread outward or whatever. Or they'll thicken the bow, whatever. They're not going to build in the central area over there because whatever reason prevented them from building there in the first place. Yeah, let's say, whatever. Whatever it is. So we can't consider as though we're going to fill it up with houses. Hacha ikal meim amali. But with the case of the three villages, the area is empty between them. You could conceivably fill it up with houses. And eventually, it's likely to happen. Eventually, the villages are going to grow. And people are going to start building houses closer. And eventually, they are going to all merge into one big thing. You know, think of like the way you have, for example, you know, Crown Heights and Williamsburg are gradually moving towards each other, right? So, or Kfar Chabad and Lud and whatever other. Yeah, Rehovot, really. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. The point is, over time, villages tend to grow and they tend to coalesce together. So therefore, in this case, we can consider as though that happened, even though right now there's more than 4,000 amas between the outer ones, as opposed to when the city, to begin with, is shaped like a bow, then there's no reason to think that the middle of the bow is ever going to be filled in. Okay. Amalei Rav Safra LaRava. So now Rav Safra asks Rava, here's a general question about two cities. Hare b'nei Akistophon, consider the people who live in the city of Akistophon, a city in Bavel. Now, what you had is there were two cities across the river. There was Akistophon, and across the river, there was a city called Ardashir. Jews lived in both of those cities, and what we do is the people of Akistophon, we measure their tchum, mehai gisa de Ardashir. We go all the way to the other side of Ardashir, and we start measuring the tchum from there. And uvnei tchum uvnei de Ardashir mashkin lo tchum mehai gisa de Akistophon, and vice versa. In other words, again, you have two cities on the two sides of the river, so it was like Brooklyn and Manhattan, or like the two Kansas cities or whatever. And what we say is what we did is, for example, let's imagine the two Kansas cities. Let's say they were there. So what we would do is the ones that the Kansas City in Missouri, we would go across the river, consider the entire Kansas City, Kansas, and that would all be part of the same city, and then we start measuring the tchum outside of that. And vice versa, the ones who live in Kansas City, Kansas, are able to walk across the river. There was a bridge, obviously, or something. And you could walk all the way to throughout Kansas City, Missouri. And then from that, you start measuring 2,000 amos into the state of Missouri. The question is, how does that work? How it could diglas? Don't you have, in between, you have the Chideko River, the Mafsika Yosim, you have the Chideko River is wider than 141 and a third between them. So how does that work? How are you able to consider them one big city? So he answered him, Nafak Achvile. So Rava went and showed Rav Safra, Hanach Atmaha Deshura, the bases of the walls, the Mivlei Bediglas Ba'ayin Amav Shiraim, that were sunk into the Chidekel within 70 and two-thirds Amas. In other words, what you had is the walls of the cities of Akistophon and Ardashir, respectively, used to extend further out into the river. Either the river used to be narrower, and then over time it flooded this area, or these parts of the walls were torn, or they actually had parts of the walls in the river itself, maybe to have a toll gate over there and prevent traffic from freely going through, whatever it is. The point is, you have these remnants of the walls over there. People used to live in these remnants of walls over there, because you have like guard towers or whatever. And we learned earlier in the parak that as long as you have a place where people used to live, even though now it's destroyed, as long as you have three walls of it left, then it's good. This was the situation over here. So you had on one side, on the Ardashir side, and also on the Akistophon side, on both sides, you had remnants of the wall in the river where people used to live in those structures, and therefore they can be considered, therefore, so, and they're within 70 and two-thirds of the cities themselves, of the edges of the cities themselves. They're also within 141 and a third of each other, and therefore we're good. So you can't. So as far as the Verrazano Bridge, for example, you don't have that. You don't have Atmahasa Deshura. You don't have remnants of walls that go into the water. The bridge itself is much longer than a Tchum Shabbos. So therefore, yeah, you wouldn't be able to walk from Brooklyn to Staten Island. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if you put down an Eruv Tchumen in the middle, you would. I don't know. I haven't looked how long the bridge is exactly to figure out whether it's less than two Tchum Shabbos. But it's definitely not one Tchum Shabbos, and therefore you would at the very least, you'd have to put down an eight of Tchumen, and maybe not even that. And again, keeping in mind, if you put an eight of Tchumen, all that would gain you is you could go a tiny bit into Staten Island. You still wouldn't be able to go throughout the whole. You still wouldn't be able to go throughout the whole thing, because it doesn't fit into you. It doesn't fit into your 2,000 amos, right? Okay. One last thing is, who is the halacha like in our Mishnah when we have Rav Meir says noistin kaipa fleir, and the Chum say only when you have two cities together? So you have a machlokas rishonim about that. On the one hand, we said before halacha k'divrei hameikel be'eruv, so that should mean the halacha is like Rav Meir. So you always give a kaipa to a city. On the other hand, we see that Rav Huna and Chiya bar Rav are arguing within the Chachamim's opinion, which maybe implies that the halacha is like a Chachamim. So you actually have a machlokas aposkim about it, whether we allow a kaipa for an individual city or whether we only do it in these kinds of cases we're talking about in order to join two cities together. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch, I think it paskins, I didn't look it up, but if I remember correctly, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is in fact paskin, like Rav Meir, that noistin kaipa fleir, and then you measure the tchum from there, on the grounds that halacha could be a mekel be'eruv. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
You're welcome. So.